time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, May 12th. We're back here with you. Stephanie's here, smiling, glowing,
trying.
As always.
Oh, good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
What's going on?
A lot is going on, but yes. We do have a beautiful guest in the studio. We're going to bring her in a few minutes. And I had to tell you about last night.
Yeah.
We have a show called Inside the Industry, which is about the porn industry and stuff like that.
Oh.
It's on Wednesdays at 8.
Okay.
So they were here last night, and you know they always bring the porn stars and all that in here. So I came in after the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes I try to show up for it. Yeah.
Of course you do.
And it pays off, you know.
Yeah.
So I came in and there were two girls sitting, actually three. And James, who runs the show, immediately is like, come on, show him your tits, you know. So she pulls up her shirt, you know, and I'm seeing these boobs and like fake boobs,
right,
you know.
Right.
So I'm not that crazy about those, but still, you know, I mean the
they're boobs, and you're like, wow.
And then the girl next to her pulls up her shirt, and she's got like natural boobs, you know, but small.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was salivating here. And then the third, they're like, I'm horny all the time, you know, and they were drinking, they had alcohol here and stuff,
oh,
you know.
Oh, my God.
So she's like, so she comes to me, she says, oh, I'm so wet right now. I'm like, do I need to know that right now? My wife was here with me. So then one of them just reaches for my crotch.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, look at you, you're getting hard.
Oh,
I mean, yeah, of course, you touch me.
Right, exactly. And you're showing me tits. I think I'm going to be a little excited here.
Oh, man.
So my God.
So sometimes, I mean, we've had girls on that show eating each other out here in the studio.
You are serious?
Yeah. These people are fucking crazy.
Oh, my God. I'm sure James is like in heaven.
Oh, yeah. And he's an older guy, too. I mean, older guy. About my age, you know.
Right, right, right.
But these girls are like yesterday, I think they were 19, 20 years old, you know.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Can you imagine getting into porn that early in your life?
I can't. Well, I can't even imagine getting into porn, period.
Yeah.
But like that early?
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm sure that made your day yesterday.
It did make my day. I told her that, and I asked him to come to our show.
Oh, so. Jesus. You did not, did you? Of course you did.
Of course I did.
Of course
Why
you
not?
Did. And now they're going
to
come.
We used to have a lot of porn stars here.
Really?
Yeah, a lot, but then the source dried up. You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Our guest is like, I can't believe what I'm hearing so early in the morning.
I know. She's like, what show did I come on to? We are not a porn show, sweetie. I swear, we talk about sex a lot, but we are not a porn show. So I really want to know, though, is James just a lover of porn and was like,
he's
I want to
porn.
Do.
He's in porn.
There we go.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And so, yeah, I mean, he does all kinds of things, you know, and he brings them here and he starts, you know. You know, necking with them and making out and shit like that.
He does, on air.
Yeah. On air.
Oh,
yeah.
God. What's
He's
happened?
All over them all the time.
Oh, my God. Is he still in the porn business? He's still doing it.
Yeah,
he's still on camera?
Yeah, he's still doing it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's older, so he can't still be on camera, though.
He is, believe it or not.
I mean, to be mean.
No, but they do all...
laughing over here. Not saying that old people don't have sex. I'm just saying, like, if he's older, he's probably not too much on camera, I would think.
No, not as much. But, you know, they have all these parody shows, you know, like Happy Days and, yeah. and Bewitched and all that stuff where they parody the real series, you know.
Uh-huh.
So he plays there like the father sometimes and things like that, you know.
Oh,
there's all kinds
God.
Of shit going on there.
Well, yeah, I guess people want to watch like, yeah. you know. Like,
people want to
like,
watch.
Well, I mean, like little girls with like older men, I do understand. I do understand that. Wow, what a night you had. I didn't even have a night close to that. I didn't even know what to say after that. Like,
I know. But these girls are like, you know, I mean, you have to be so involved with sex to be in porn, you know?
Well, are they
And these
like,
girls just love sex. I mean, that's what they tell you. The first thing she, you know, one of them tells me when I walk in here is, oh, I love sex. You know, it's like, okay, you know?
Okay, which I believe. I mean, because, you know, like, there are people that are obsessed with it. But my question is, are these girls just like, because I know that a lot of them are drugged up and stuff. And like they were drinking yesterday.
They were drinking.
Right. So is this like they drink normally? Do they on the set? Do they do drugs on to make them like this, to make it okay? I mean, I would think there has to be a lot of substance abuse going on.
Probably.
There,
probably.
You know,
I'm sure. A lot
to
of
to be like that, especially when you're 19 years old and you're just exploited like that.
Yeah.
I mean, look,
you
I like
think they're exploited? I mean, when they decide to do it themselves, you know, I mean, is it still...
No, I think, well, you know, they decide to do it, but it's still exploitation of them. I mean, look, they're agreeing to it.
Right.
But there's got to be something. Like, look, I watch porn. I don't think that there's anything necessarily wrong with it.
Right.
But they're putting themselves out there. Like, there's got to be some kind of thing that affects you in some way that's hard to deal with.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? I would just think as a human being, but I could be totally wrong that they can compartmentalize and they can, you know, fuck and then they can, you know, have a normal life.
I know. And eventually many of them decide that this is not for them, you know, and they get out and stuff.
Well, what
know,
was so. The biggest porn star? Well, not now. Tracy Lords.
Yes. I remember
she got,
her.
She started when she was, what, 14 years old?
Right,
she said she was like 18
or something.
And she was like, she could deep throat, or I don't even know her whole thing, but she was a rock star in bed, I guess. But she got out and she wrote a book on it, and then she started acting.
She went to mainstream, right?
Yeah, and she's like, I had to get out of it. But she told her whole story about, you know, of how she got into it and whatever. And it's like, it's got to mess with you at some point, I would think.
No, it does. It does. I mean, I read books by Jenna Jameson and Tara Patrick, who have been like big porn stars. And it does. I mean, they have like really fucked up lives.
Do
you
they?
Know? Yeah.
What are they doing
I mean,
now?
What do
They're
you expect?
Out of it?
I mean, they go dancing, you know, they dance and strip and all that stuff in addition to that. You know?
Yeah. It's got to be messed up.
Yeah.
So on that note,
anyway, let's bring in our guest here because she's sitting dying to talk
She
about...
wants to talk about the porn industry.
Yeah.
You can tell.
And we have Simona in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome
Simona.
Back. Simona was here, a few months ago, right?
Was it like November?
Oh, was it November?
I think it was a while back.
Yeah.
I think
October,
November.
About, six, 8 months ago. Mm. Cool. Well, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me
Isn't
back.
Isn't she beautiful, Stephanie?
She is gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
I am wide awake right now after your little porn talk.
It'll get you up in the morning. You're welcome. So, Simona, where are you from? You have an accent.
I am originally from Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
Via London.
Oh.
That's my little
there you
thing.
Go.
Yeah. So you grew up in Czechoslovakia, right?
I did, yes.
And how old were you when you left there?
I left when I was 16 and a half, 17.
Wow. On your own?
On my own. Maybe.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I didn't
There's
go into porn,
girl.
Though.
No. Good for you.
Just to make that clear.
You don't seem that type.
So then you went to London when you were 17.
I went to New York.
Or you went to New York.
Yes. I discovered a little bit of world. I traveled, you know, I went to live with Eskimos for a minute.
Really?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Where?
And in Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, there's not many Eskimos really anywhere else, Sam.
That's what I meant.
I love you.
Well, there's the North Pole.
In South Africa?
But
and then I ended up in London, and that's where I started.
Hold on. We need to. You can't just graze over this. Nobody comes on the show and says, "And I live with Eskimos." So how did you want to or happen to live with Eskimos?
I wanted to because my grandma, who I love very much, and she used to tell me all about, you know, Alaska and how wonderful would it be for those people to be in Europe because they're very cold. And she, you know, and she used to tell me all these crazy stories, and she was just very curious. So when I came to New York, I I saw this little advert on a little travel shop, and it says Alaska for like, I don't know how many $100s. And I'm like, oh, Alaska? I'm sure that's the same thing that my grandma used to talk about. And so I just took off, you know, and it was kind of an interesting flight because you have to go from New York to Chicago, from Chicago to Minneapolis, from Minneapolis to Anchorage.
Wow, really?
And then they saw this girl. They were like, that's where you stay, right? And I'm like, no, I think I'm going to Kotzebue, which is like this little Eskimo village. And like, you sure? I'm like, yeah. So then I stay there for a minute, and then there was this little planes that they take, I call them poachers, that, you know, crazy, like wealthy people that paid like $100,000 for a license to kill grizzly.
Wow.
And they just take you in the middle of nowhere, and I was in the middle of nowhere as well, just with grizzlies and mooses and caribous, and that was very interesting.
I'm so like you saw a sign. I'm still like, you saw a sign that said go to Alaska,
and she went to Alaska
and now you're like, excuse me, knock 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 on your igloo, can I come in and stay with you? I can't understand it. So hold on, did you have clothes that were warm enough to stay there?
Well,
did they give you clothes? Did they skin a moose for you?
No, they didn't.
I mean, I'm just wondering as to how this went down.
I had a little fleece jacket, and it was October. Sorry, no, it was August, and it's supposed to be like the warmest month of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a little cold, but it was actually okay. It was, you know, partly sunny.
Wow. But you stayed in an igloo.
I did, yeah. I did, but only for like, you know, a couple of days.
Oh,
and then
okay.
I moved into a camp,
okay,
which I stayed in like this wooden...
Like a teepee?
Like what? It's like, you know what builders would have on the site, on a building site?
Mm.
Just like a little wooden, non-specific...
Yeah.
Okay,
we
chat
understand.
Box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was in the middle of nowhere. Like, if you don't have a plane, there are no roads, there are no boats.
Wow.
You just need to fly. Yeah.
Really?
So did you have to kill anything?
No, okay. I didn't. I tell you what I did do is fish. And it's very interesting because there was a little river running through, and there's me fishing.
Uh-huh.
And like about, I don't know it in yards, but in about like 50 meters away from me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. How much is that? I know. There was a baby grizzly like catching fish with his paw.
Wow.
And we're just looking at each other, and I'm like, oh, I hope your mom's not here.
Yeah, you'd
that was
be
the
dead.
Baby. Yeah.
So the mother was nowhere near it?
I'm sure she was somewhere there. But it was just very funny. Like, you know, if you just, you know, minding your own business, as long as you don't step into their territory, you're fine.
Wow.
And yeah, we kind of like, you know, compare how much fish I caught to how much fish he caught.
Yeah. He just used his paw. He was like, bitch, come here. He just grabbed a bunch of fish.
But the funny thing is, I actually caught quite a lot in, the owner of the camp told me that women are more successful than men in fishing.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
For some reason. I don't know whether it's just in Alaska, but...
Let's be honest. Women are more successful
in
everything.
In everything.
Yeah, thank you.
I had to say that. Okay, go on.
Anyway, so that's Alaska. You know.
In a nutshell. Did you see anything else? Did you do anything? I mean...
You know, there's not that much to see. I flew in a little two-seater plane.
Wow.
In between two mountains that if you slightly go to the right, you're going to... The wing's going to touch the mountain.
Wow.
And on top of those mountains, there's nothing but snow and rocks.
Right.
There were goats.
Really?
And I was like, how did they get there? And they live there. And what did they live off of? It was just so interesting.
Yeah.
So how long were you there in total for?
Like about a month.
Oh, a month.
It's
okay.
Not that, you know, I lived there for a year or something, you know.
Well,
but, you know, one day to me equaled a month. Because... It's very quiet. It's incredible. If you're coming from the city, you're just like, wow, this is so quiet. And then come 6 o'clock, it's pitch black. You can slice the darkness.
Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
And it just comes like within 15 minutes, it's just like bang.
Really? Totally dark.
My ex-husband lived in Alaska, but in Juneau. Not
I haven't
Eskimos.
Been there.
And he was a whitewater rafting guide, and he said it was like the most amazing place he's ever seen.
Yeah, it is. It's like your mind is so clear.
Would you go back there?
I would. You know, for a long time I was saying, no, you know, I think I'm done with that. But being in LA for a year, I think I'm ready to go to Alaska
and live with Eskimos again.
Or just grizzlies.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I don't even need human
population. Do not live with grizzlies. Didn't you ever see the grizzly man?
The grizzly man, yeah.
Isn't that, he ended up getting killed.
Did he?
Yes. You don't. There's this guy. There's this crazy guy and his girlfriend, and this guy was like obsessed with grizzlies, right? All of his life.
I know about grizzly men, but I didn't know he got killed.
He ended up getting mauled by a bear. He lived with them for a period of time.
Right.
It was a documentary that came out. I think Werner Herzog did it, who's an amazing German director, and he did this documentary on them, and he actually has on camera the audio. Of and didn't tape it. I think taped it but didn't show anybody. But he put in the documentary the audio of the guy being mauled by a grizzly, and he ended up getting killed. But he was obsessed with these. I mean, you got to put some blame on the guy because he was obsessed with these grizzlies, and he was so close to them, and he lived with them, and they accepted him. Yet, you know what I mean? Like you're still living in the wild.
Animals,
with,
exactly.
You know? Never know what they're gonna.
They
do.
All get killed by the animals. You know that crocodile guy also.
Right, Steve
but
Austin.
But he actually got killed by the stingray.
Yeah, exactly. But still, with the animals that they're messing with. You know?
I do tell you who I would love to live with is panda bears. I think they're the cutest thing ever. And they like swings. They like sorbets.
Really?
Like, we could live together, you know what I mean?
Why? Because you like swings and sorbets?
I love, I do.
Wow, you're pretty easy to live with. Just swings and sorbets.
That's it.
That's all you need.
Yeah, that's all.
Did you see, speaking of pandas, did you see on YouTube that clip when the panda sneezes?
Mm-hmm.
The baby panda? Talk about cute. You'll have to see this. We'll have to get this after the air. But it's just a cute clip of this little baby panda with her mom, and she sneezes, and the reaction of the mama panda is so funny, but it's only like 30 seconds. It's cute. I'll show you later. Just remind me.
I think their behavior is just so cute.
Yeah.
Just watch them. If you really look at pandas, they're so cute.
Yeah, they are cute for sure. You know.
Yeah.
So you ended up in London after New York.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's where the whole beginning started of, you know, I became a good girl and started studying and not so adventurous, even though I did venture out to Africa to hang out with Maasai tribe for a minute.
Really?
Oh my God, what?
Wow. And that just happened.
Yeah.
I finished.
You saw a sign, go to Africa.
Yes, pretty much. I lived close to. Travel agency, and you know, I kind of finished university, and it was such a like anti-climax too. I was studying so hard, and then there was like, bang, it's over. What am I gonna do? You know.
Yeah.
So I was like, again, go back to nature. So I just went on my own. I went to Kenya. And it was a low season, so I had my own guide and like a tour guide and a Maasai guide, you know. Since I didn't have to share my Jeep or this whole adventure with like 15 other tourists, which were in other groups, I had my personal Maasai guide, and he's like, I'll take you to my village. I'm like, oh, please do. You know, I'd love to like see how you live. And normally, like, they don't want to let you in because they think it's exploitation and stuff. So, but. And, you know, of course, being blonde, it's not like you don't stand out.
No,
you know?
It's true. They like if you go to India or any place that if you're blonde, you will stand out. They will be in love with
and
your hair.
And they would touch my hair.
They're obsessed.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. It's very humbling as well, because, you know, here we are with computers and the latest technology, and things are coming out every single day. Like, you buy a computer, by the time you come home, there's a new thing on the market.
Right.
And, you know, they have nothing. For them, they just have, like, cows mean everything to them. You know, they really utilize everything from the skin. You know, they build their shacks from cow's dung.
Mm.
And I saw this being built. You know, they burn it. And it's really interesting. I was just like, wow. You know, they're so self-sufficient.
If,
you know, our system crashes, we're done. But these guys, they'll survive us. But they are becoming more commercialized.
Yeah.
Because at the end of it, they were like, give us $5.
Yeah.
And then you can like take pictures with us. And I'm like, okay, here.
So funny. Wait, so how long did you live there for?
A month.
A month,
yeah.
too.
But with Maasai's in their village, only like 3 days. Mm. Because it was, you know, it was an intrusion of their customs.
Yeah.
And so I was very blessed and grateful that they allowed me to hang out for a minute.
Did you see any like weird stuff or cool? Not weird, but just like, did they do any rituals when you were there?
Yes. I mean, it was interesting the way they shaved their heads. There was another lady, like one woman kind of giving a haircut to another lady. And they just used actual blade, razor blade.
Really?
Just you know, like stuff that you put inside the whole holder.
Yeah.
No,
right.
Just the blade, and they just went.
Those old-fashioned blades.
It like a an actual
the ones that you
the actual
insert.
Razor, yes. the one that you insert.
And that's like the ones that they have out there now. You know, like the double blades and all that stuff. You're talking about the old-fashioned.
I'm talking about actual blade,
right.
no holder.
Yeah, I know what you're talking
She
about.
Took
right.
it in her hand, and she just. You know, start slicing. And I'm like, oh. But no, she was no cuts, nothing. She's like, you want to try? I'm like,
oh,
no.
Okay. Do you want to try? Like, do you want to shave my head? No.
And then, you know, like the men, the warriors, they just roam around Maasai Mara, which is the natural reserve where you have, you know, all the animals. And obviously the tourists, when they go and watch those animals, they have to be inside the jeep and covered up and all that. These guys, they just roam around like barefoot amongst the animals, and they have such an incredible instinct. The guy would see what's behind him. I'm like, how do you see that?
Right.
You know, I actually stopped and looked at it. He goes, look, alligator. And we were in the car passing. Mm-hmm. And then we reversed. We went back, and we're standing at the spot, and the guy's like, look, there's the alligator. And I'm like, I'm looking at something, but there, I don't see anything because obviously it was blended with the nature. And then he threw a rock and the alligator moved. I'm like, oh, wow, how did you even see that? You know, we were like zooming back in a car.
Right.
Yeah.
So they are so in tune with the nature, which is incredible. Their senses, everything. I think that's what we need living in big cities.
Well, you know, it's got its advantages and disadvantages.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And they wouldn't let me hunt with them.
No,
No, you actually wanted to?
I actually wanted to.
Oh,
yeah, you know, like, I don't kill animals. I'm a big animal lover.
Sure.
But
just kidding.
Being in Maasai Mara, you know, they do it because they, you know, it's like one animal kills another animal. So that's their living.
Right.
And I was like, I just want to go and hunt with you guys and just see how it all goes. He's like, no, men
do
only.
Men only. I was going to say
only.
Women don't, right?
No, but I did get propositioned to be
a whore?
Wife number 14.
Oh. Yeah.
Wife number what?
14.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. So they believe in polygamy. There we go.
Oh, yeah. It's all
so
one big family.
Yeah, no rules there, man. You know?
They have hundreds of kids, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're like a wealthy warrior, wealthy Maasai, the more cattle you have, the more wives you have. So
right.
if you have 14 wives, you know, you're kind of up there. You probably have like 200 cows.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And they won't get arrested for that. Polygamy is okay there,
Are you
apparently.
Kidding? Who's going to arrest them?
I think they're all living in Kenya.
That's their rules.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's just funny how, I mean, this is totally different. I mean, this is obviously in Kenya. This is, you know,
I don't think it could work in L.A.
Well, no, but, you know, years ago, when was it? I was shooting April Moon, so 2007. The biggest polygamist finally got arrested. Jeffrey, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. My dad's going to text me
the guy
second,
from Utah?
The guy from Utah.
Yeah.
He had 33 wives or something and over 100
wow.
kids.
Oh, wow.
And they were following him for years and years and years, and he finally got arrested.
Wow.
Jeffrey, I can't think of his last name right now.
Yeah.
But
were all the wives happy?
Well, sweetie.
Usually they are, you know. I mean,
in every way.
In the past, we've talked to a woman that published a book after she was in a polygamous relationship, a community, and the women actually like it. You know, they become friends with each other, and you know, they focus on raising the family and everything.
I guess,
you know, so it's not all about the sex and that. There's not much jealousy going on.
Right.
You know?
I think his name is Warren Jeffs. That's his name. Warren Jeffs was the biggest polygamist. That would be so interesting to talk to that woman. But I think it's when you grow up in that culture, like that's what you know.
Yeah.
And it's like that's the only thing that's
like
accepted.
Normal.
So it's normal. So,
right.
you know. But it's interesting. She's no longer in it.
No, she's no longer in it. But she's, she does. It's not like she regrets it or anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She just explains the life and everything. But She yeah. doesn't feel like she was abused or anything, you know. I mean, for them, that's just their
yeah,
tradition.
I mean,
you know?
Like I don't judge them. Yeah. I think I would like a little bit yeah. more physical attention from my man.
Right. Yeah. Would you live with yeah. a few husbands? If
yeah,
you could?
Really? I would.
Hell yeah. Hell you know, yes, I would live with a few
husbands.
One
would just do my little toes. You know, they can do manicures. You know, another one would, I don't know, massaging. You know,
like I could totally.
I can
let's
absolutely
start that.
Do it.
Let's start our own religion and let's start that women
Why
can
don't
have
we?
Numerous men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would not go over well for men. I don't think men could take that.
I don't think so. I think they're egos.
Yep. Well,
you know, you can only have one rooster.
Agreed.
And one lion. Oh, that's another thing in Africa. It was interesting how the lion was just chilling in the desert. Like, not desert.
I was going to say, right. You're not.
Not doing anything. Just
he was just like
day.
Lying there.
Right.
In the wilderness, and you have those four or five lionesses that uh-huh. do all the work.
Yeah.
They go, they kill, uh-huh. and they just, you know, he just, when it's all ready, he just comes.
That's why he's the king.
Like, yeah.
The life of a lion. They sleep like 22 hours out of the day.
Yes.
Yeah, it's yeah. crazy.
But they are beautiful. Oh, I love wild cats.
Yeah, until you come up close and then
I came
rip
pretty
your head
close. I wish I had pictures on me. I came like that close, almost touching the paw.
Really?
Of lioness.
But yeah. you didn't do it, did you?
I wanted to, but okay. I came literally like I could have. And the guy says to me, you know, you can come as close yeah. as she lets you.
Yeah.
But don't, you know,
she
because you are in the
off.
Wild.
Exactly.
You are in her territory.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. She'll yeah. rip your head off,
yeah.
man.
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
But I actually came off the Jeep and I was like, my God, they were just sleeping. Obviously, they'd probably just been fed. Mm-hmm. I was so tempted.
Yeah.
But
cool. That's well, great. For those just joining us, we're talking to Simona. Is it Berlikova, if
it's
I remember?
Berlikova.
Berlikova.
I always
okay.
say I'm going to have a crash course on spelling of my last name
right.
and pronunciation.
Spell it. Spell it.
It's Berlikova.
Right.
Got that?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea what you just said to me.
It's Berlikova.
Berlikova. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose the... yeah, but... No, it's cool. I mean, it's cool. You know, so you're from Czechoslovakia, mm-hmm. New York, London,
Africa,
Alaska too.
To wild, wild west in
yeah.
LA.
So you love to travel.
I love traveling.
Yeah.
Love traveling and somehow getting involved in local cultures.
Yeah. And you're pretty brave. I mean, going, yeah. you know, Western, beautiful mm-hmm. woman and everything, traveling on her own. It's pretty gutsy, huh?
You know, Sam, I never thought of myself as beautiful. I was raised like a tomboy. So
really?
That kind of, you know, the exterior just happened. And I kind of found out that I'm attractive when I came to, like, New York, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm honing my beauty in LA because that's
right.
a whole different ballgame.
Right. Exactly.
You have to show a little bit more skin here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when, like, you know, where I come from, there are a lot of beautiful women.
Yeah.
And so... I just never, you know, I would like get a lot of attention for just being the Brad and having loads
yeah.
of energy, but never for, I mean, you know, it just was never somehow emphasized until
right.
like my boobs developed and I went to New York and people look at my boobs and they go, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And I'm like, my face is 12 inches.
Of course.
North.
That's what, you know. Well, listen to Sam's story this morning. He's like, and they showed me their tits. And I was
yeah.
like, Mara. I'm like, Jesus.
I'm not showing you mine, Sam.
Men are so easy. They're so easy. It's retarded.
Oh,
yeah.
man.
So true.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean.
So, yeah, but I mean, you know, I guess looking back, I mean, I
yeah.
guess I was brave, but you just don't think about it. You
yeah.
know, to me, it was just normal. It's something I wanted to do. And,
yeah.
and I do it again and again. You know,
right.
it's like part of my DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Apparently she just sees signs and then she goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's cool, you know. So so after London, so in London you went to school.
Yes.
Right?
I studied hard. I became a nerd. I went to university. I went to drama school.
Uh-huh.
And then just, you know, started building up my reel and getting agents and
mm-hmm.
doing, you know, actually focus on acting.
Wow.
I always had a lot of energy and the energy just didn't have the form,
right.
Even though I always wanted to be on stage and I knew I wanted to be an entertainer,
mm-hmm.
I just, you know, I just didn't know kind of how to go about it. I was
sure.
a bit of a wild cannon, and
right.
so, you know, no one kind of guided me. My parents are very academic,
mm-hmm.
right.
and so, yeah, then I found my path, you know, done stage productions,
mm-hmm.
and while I was doing one of my plays, I got cast for the movie Galawalker that eventually brought me over to the States.
Okay.
That's somehow I transcended. The visa process was impossible.
Yeah.
It was very impossible. Yeah. I cannot even go there.
Yeah.
It took me, let's just say, 17 visa denials.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Well, you should have come in through Mexico. They get in very easily.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, somehow they didn't want to let me in, you know? And so,
you're scary looking. That's why they're scared. We're scared of you.
Yeah, because you're trying to do it the right way.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Yeah.
I know.
What's the problem? You know, I want to study here. I want to, bring some money into your economy. And no, you can't. So, anyway, but, I finally managed.
But you were persistent.
I was persistent. Right. Yes, after 17 visa denials,
Jesus.
I finally got approved,
wow.
And it's all good now.
Mm-hmm.
So here I am. You know, I came to finish the movie. Then I got on board. The Gala Walker was a supernatural western with Wesley Snipes.
Mm-hmm.
And if Quentin Tarantino is listening somewhere right now, I know he's doing western. I'd love to get on board of that.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, I did a movie about Bernie Madoff called Madoff with America, where I play their mastermind behind the uncovering of the whole scandal to the media.
Wow.
Yes, that's in post-production. I think it's actually completed. I don't know what's going on with it now. But
is that a TV movie? Or?
It's a good question. If the producers are listening, is that a TV movie or are we actually going to see it in the cinemas?
Yeah.
Apparently, it was supposed to be in cinemas.
Uh-huh.
A tiny little screening was in Cannes last year, but we were still working on it.
Right.
So I don't know where we are right now. Maybe we are in Cannes. I've just been really busy with other stuff, so I didn't quite follow up on it, but I will.
So what are you busy with? I mean, so you do acting, obviously, and stuff. Do you do modeling as well?
No, I don't. People always think
you're beyond
that. I mean, look, if Dior comes and says we want you for Our Ladies campaign, of course I'm not going to say no.
Right?
No, but, I never took that route. When I was in London, I think it was a period of real anorexic flat girls, and my boobs were always too big to be a model, so I don't know, I just never kind of pay attention to that.
Yeah.
Even though I just did latest campaign for New York Hotel in Las Vegas and casino, and that's gonna be all over billboards and whatnot end of May in June.
Oh, wow.
It's national, so. Maybe it'll be, in magazines and
good. So your face
billboards
will be plastered all over the place.
Yes, face and my cleavage.
And your
cleavage,
think,
because
wow.
It was
most important, right?
Yeah.
We were by the roulette blackjack table, and there were all different characters, like four of us, different characters, and I was Miss Sophisticat, but they definitely wanted my cleavage.
Yeah.
I was like, I might as well air them out now. So
there's nothing wrong with that,
be
girl.
Proud of them, yeah.
If you have them, why not?
Exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, boobs can get you a lot of money, if you know how to use them correctly.
I'm slowly starting to find that out, even though I'm not sure I'm going to come on to the James show. Is this guy true?
I wouldn't go on that show either.
I was considering Howard Stern,
Well, that stuff happens on Howard Stern, too.
Yeah.
I used to listen to him religiously when I was in New York, there was always someone sitting on his lap, taking off panties. Boobs were just like, forget it. That's already
nothing,
not
right.
even a big
exactly.
deal.
But now that he got married and stuff, he sort of mellowed out a little bit.
Is he a little bit conservative now?
Not really, but I mean, he's mellowed out quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
his wife is hot. She's young and hot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he doesn't want to lose that. He got lucky there.
Yeah.
And I think he's actually pretty normal. Taking the radio away, the mic, away from him, he's pretty, I think he's quite, conservative.
Yeah.
And he's actually a nice guy, I think.
It's true. I mean, he'll talk about, anal sex all the time on the show, but he'll be the first one to tell you he doesn't do it, I listen to him all the time, too. I download the shows and I listen to the car and stuff.
I have a lot of friends that listen to him.
Yeah, I love Howard Stern.
Yeah, he's amazing, Maybe one day we'll
very
get to
clever.
Be that
as
famous.
Big as him.
Yeah, there you go. But he's paid his dues. He's been doing it for 35
did.
Years.
35 years?
35 years.
He's on satellite now, right?
Yeah.
He's on Sirius.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sirius Radio, yeah.
Right.
And how long is he on for?
4 hours every morning.
4 hours?
And then they do the repeats of his shows.
Right.
Does he really? I mean, I've listened to him a couple times, but it's like, Do you really have something to talk about for 4 hours?
Oh, he does.
Well, yeah, because it's not only him. You know,
well, there's
like a whole
right.
team. Yeah. Plus, he's got a whole team. Plus, you got to remember, when you do a 4-hour show, there's a lot of breaks, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of commercials and things like that.
And he actually endorses a lot of products.
Yeah, you know, and they also, he's got like a whole cast of characters. So it's not like he has to come up all the time with material that he says, you know.
Right, right, right.
But, you know, so they'll get on the topic and talk about it for an hour or something.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, and plus, you know, when you're in his position, people do all the prep for you. So
sure,
you have all the clips ready. You have everything ready for you.
He's got a whole team.
But you know, when the Tiger Woods story broke out, he actually held Tiger Woods' mistress's pageant.
Right.
Yeah. He held her what?
Yeah, pageant. Yeah.
Pageant. Like he had his mistress's.
Of all, of all the mistresses.
Yeah.
Of, he brought him in and he did like a pageant. Who's the hottest one?
The hottest. Yeah.
That is amazing. Who won? Do you remember?
Which one won?
It was like a Casey something, I think.
Casey. Yes. I don't know their names, but yeah.
How many? Wait, how many?
Or maybe Casey was Sheen's lover, I think.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm sure he's on that, too.
He did that with them, too,
One of them. He's got so they both have so many. I'm sure he still is.
You go,
Tiger.
Charlie, I say.
Yeah. So you like his whole spiel and stuff?
Hey, listen, you only live once, you know, and if that's his thing, why not? You know, I don't judge the guy. I think he's entertaining.
Right. Definitely entertaining, you know.
Yeah.
But he's delusional too, you know.
He's when I worked with him, like I said, he was nice, you know. He was a nice, normal on set, like knew his lines,
right.
you know. But I think
you know, from the professional point of view, as long as you eventually turn up and do your thing, you know, who cares what you do in your personal life?
Right.
But if you're cracked out every day. And you're showing up late or not knowing your lines. I mean,
that's a different
story. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, that's because it affects the whole.
Well, yeah, because these are people's time and money, and it's just, it's crap.
Yeah, he screwed up the whole show, really, you know, but.
He did.
But now he's suing Warner Brothers?
Yeah, he's suing everybody, And but you know what I just read here is that Hugh Grant was going to almost replace Sheen on.
Hugh Grant?
Yeah. Oh, my God. That would have been such a disaster. Holy crap.
No, that just can't.
No, it's a headline here. Let me see what it says. Yeah.
Hugh Grant replacing.
I don't know what it means, almost replaced him, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
Grant was close to signing a deal with CBS.
Yeah, I just saw that.
Backed out the last time. I mean, the last minute. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's...
I don't know. He's not for 2.5 men. He's not even close.
Not. There's no way. I mean, John Stamos would have been better, and I don't even like John Stamos. I mean, I did as Uncle Jesse on Full House, but come on, that was years ago. But seriously, I don't think there is not many people that could replace
him.
No,
that show is written around Charlie Sheen.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Maybe Dennis Rodman.
Oh, my God. What did you just say? What are you talking about?
Do you find him attractive?
Oh, gross.
Dennis Rodman?
Yeah.
No.
No, but I did find him interesting at some
point. He's very interesting.
I don't know what he's doing right now, but, you know, I used to follow him when he was in Chicago Bulls. When I was a little girl, I used to write to them to give me autographs.
Really?
Yeah, like Dennis Rodman was, like, for me, bigger
he
hero than Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You know, and then, obviously, his off-screen shenanigans, off-the-court shenanigans.
Yeah,
I grew up in Chicago, so I saw the Bulls and, you know, seen Rodman and all that. He's nuts. I mean, he's a great entertainer.
Yeah.
He's just out of his mind. I do not find that guy attractive. No, I would not have sex with him. Ever. I'm sorry.
But, you know, we're talking about replacing Charlie Sheen, so I thought, you know, maybe Dennis Rodman would be a good contender.
And that's such a disaster. It'd be so, you could never count. I would be like, what is he going to do now? Like, it would be a mess.
Yeah.
My dad says Sean Penn.
Sean Penn what?
Sean Penn.
Oh, to replace him? Sean Penn.
I love Sean Penn, but I don't think he's
not funny at all, this guy.
Well, he can be, but he's more of an actor. Like,
actor,
he's just not...
Right.
Do you know what I mean? He's like, he's super serious about his craft.
Yeah.
I don't think that would be...
No, your dad's totally wrong in this one.
Sorry, Pops. You're totally wrong.
So, Simona, what are you working on now?
Yeah.
Okay, I just finished, as you know, Vagina Monologues, which was fantastic.
Oh, you were on there, right.
I was, yes, thank you to Polly Sheena.
They had a three-night Vagina Monologues, and with many of the hosts on the station, and also guests that have been Sheena's guests and stuff. So
that's right. You said you were supposed to see that the other day.
Yeah. Well,
and damn, you didn't, Sam.
No, I didn't.
But it's okay. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Thank you. But, you know, I've just been doing, like, busy doing little projects. Like, I did a little thing with, crazy thing with Harmony Korine directing James Franco. It's art piece for Venice Biennale. And it was very interesting. That's all I can say about it at this point, because we've just been told yesterday that it's still in post-production.
There's always,
And did another Sprint commercial. Somehow I'm going into the commercial world, but hey. And I'm just getting ready to go to Singapore for something called Screen Singapore, which is like Cannes Film Festival for Asia. It's the first time they're doing it. I know it's going to be huge, but I am still working on my accreditation because for some reason they just turned me down saying you're too late. So I got to find the way, you know, the team that I'm working with.
You're too what? White?
Too late.
Too late. I thought you said too white. And I was like,
I ain't too white.
They're racist.
No, I'm already too late, but I know I'm not. So I, you know, I gotta just pull some strings. I think, you know, it's the first year they're trying to probably just keep it very small and I don't know, you know. So I'm working with the team that I'm going there, hopefully.
Hey, if you got to Alaska, you'll get to Singapore.
Hell
you know?
Yeah.
I heard Singapore is amazing.
It is amazing. You know, I was there.
Oh, she was already there.
Yeah,
December. I was there a couple times. It's one of a kind. Like you have to go once in your lifetime.
Really?
I wouldn't want to live there. It's a little bit too strict. You know, there are all the, you know, you can get, it's called fine city, not like a fine city, but like you can get a fine for anything. For, like spitting gum, $500.
Yeah. Right.
Dumping a cigarette butt. I don't know, $300 or something. So there's, don't stand there. Everything is like really designated. So it's good to see. It's very clean. My God, it's so clean. But people are quite robotic. And but as a city, it is beautiful. Just to see it. It's like, I recommend you gotta go.
I've heard. And I've heard Singapore Air. We were just talking about this yesterday. I heard Singapore Air is amazing.
One of the best airlines, I think.
That's what I've heard.
And so, and I just booked a pilot, so I have to come back here, and they're already in a process of you know, prepping and stuff.
Congrats,
so,
what you booked?
Thank you. It's called Lullaby. It's kind of like a True Blood meets Da Vinci Code.
Okay, what station is it on?
I don't know what station yet.
Okay.
They are going for the networks.
Okay.
So, we just had a table read, and my character is quite interesting.
What do you play?
I am a fairy. I am a fairy that is the whole vamp. The how it works, like apparently, I just learned the whole vampire thing. You have vampires, you have humans,
and
then you have the fae that they live in the minds of the humans, but they're trying to get out of their minds, and when they do, they serve humanity or they serve the vampire world.
Right.
And so I serve humanity or I'm trying my best. And so I kind of retreated and I live in a strip club. I'm a stripper.
There we go.
Yes. And I know I'm a very old fairy. I'm about 800,000 years old.
And you strip.
And
that's impressive.
I do strip and they find me there, you know, cause that's like my little hideout. And I'm obviously in prison cause I live in humanity, but the only time I'm free is when I'm on stage. And, of course, you know, there has to be some sexiness to it.
Of course.
Like I said, True Blood meets The Da Vinci Code.
So
it's a beautifully written story by Matthew Morrissey, a very talented young writer-director. And he just researched the hell out of every character and the whole story. Like, it's quite deep and just a beautiful script. So I'm really excited to sink my teeth into
that's
that.
That's exciting.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'll sink my teeth into it too, watching your strip and stuff like that. Are you kidding?
I'll send you some photos.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll see the whole movie. Sounds pretty good.
It's a TV show, Sam.
TV show, okay.
I love how much Sam was listening. He's like, stripping, what? You're naked, what?
But, you know, they are thinking of doing a feature. They're shooting it like it's going to be a feature. So, again, in the course of the next week, I'll find out more about it. But it's very, I'm excited about it.
It's
so rare
like
to get
busy.
A great script.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And when I first read this, I was like, this is great. I am getting this part. And I read for my character that I eventually landed. And they asked me to read for another character. And I'm like, I got to mess up the other character on purpose because I really want my character.
Wow.
And I got it. So, yeah.
How cool.
I was totally focused on it. Like, I was like, there's no way I'm not getting this character.
Did you go and study at a strip club?
No, I just hired a dancing pole, put it in my living room, and you know,
there you go.
And you practice. Just kidding, I practiced. No, I didn't actually have to move around, but I kind of, you know, gave them a little idea that I could move around.
Sure.
Yeah.
But sounds if you get good. It, you're gonna have to strip, girl.
Well, then I go on Howard Stern show and yeah. And you know,
and he's gonna teach you how to strip. Good luck.
And
with
watch
him.
All these girls. No, but actually I am planning on going into a strip club and
yeah. You know you can take stripping classes. We just talked about this, so weird. You should have been here yesterday when we talked about this. I was just talking about I took a stripping class like a couple years ago because I did a play and I played a stripper, and the S Factor is actually really, really good to learn to dance on the pole.
Okay, I'll give the details afterwards.
Yeah, yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm glad I can help you strip.
Yeah, teach her how to strip.
No, I am not a pro. The women that work there are incredible. Yeah. And it's one of the hardest workouts I've ever had in my life.
Right.
Yeah. Because you got to, you know.
You got to use every single muscle.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything.
But they're not going to have nudity, though, right? I mean.
Yes, there's a nudity. There is. I'm going to be butt naked on set. No nudity on screen.
Right.
It's in my contract.
Really?
Yes. No nudity on screen, but butt naked on set. So
wow.
They're going to shoot it in a way that, you know, it's obviously, you know, you understand that I am naked. But
what are we? Right. I'm so confused. Hold on. There's nothing on screen, but you're on set. You're naked.
Yes. So in order to capture those shots that of me looking naked, and you know, you have to understand that okay, the character is like, you know, I'm taking off my top.
Right.
So you see me taking off the top. So of course on set when they're filming it, I actually have to take the top off.
Right.
You know,
but
I mean,
they're not going to show it on camera.
But they're not going to show
the
it on
body
camera.
Parts.
But why are they even shooting it then?
No, they're not going to show the body parts. You know, they're going to show that she's stripping.
Oh, they're going to show me stripping. You're not going to see my
boobies. Yeah, it'll be different angles, you know, where you can't
got
see it properly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, thanks for clearing that one up.
Sorry. Yeah.
I was a little slow. I didn't really understand. Sorry. Well, that sounds awesome, girl. I'm excited for you.
Yes, I'm very excited as well. And, you know, there are a bunch of other projects in the pipeline, but I would not want to talk about those because I got really excited a couple
actors
of times
are
about
so
things.
Serious.
Yeah, and then it doesn't pan out. Yeah.
And I was so close and, you know, literally at the almost contract stage, and then, you know, the studio pulled a plug.
Yeah,
wow.
So it happens, unfortunately, in our business. You could be on a set and you can get fired. You never know.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it's not even something that you did. It's just,
no,
you know what I mean?
Because it's such a teamwork and there's so many forces at work that, you know, you just have no control over it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see. But you'll hear about it.
Nice, girl.
Yeah. Now, where can people find you? Do you have a website that people can check out?
They can. I have a
Facebook
public
page.
Figure and Facebook, Facebook page, Simona Berlikova. And of course, you can check out my work progress on IMDb. There you go. IMDb.
It's the best way to find
Simona
an
Berlikova.
Actor.
Yeah. IMDb.com.
Sounds good.
The Bible.
Well, Simona, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Always
it was a lot of
fun.
Thank
and,
you.
And good luck to you with your career and everything.
Thank you very much.
Like
come back anytime.
Yeah.
I will. I'll keep you updated. You know,
and
maybe
all your travels as well as your work.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, I really would love to go. I'd love to go to Amazonian wild forest.
Yeah.
You know, where
that
they
would
still
be nice.
They have those Aboriginal tribes that no one they discovered them just from the helicopter.
Right.
But I'd love to go there. I think it'll be actually more dangerous than being close to a lion.
Yeah.
I just love to go there. I'm really prepared to shave my head or do whatever physical transformation I have to do in order to get accepted there and just live with them.
Wow.
Because imagine, like, they're so unspoiled, like they know nothing.
Right.
Are they cannibals?
Who knows?
Yeah, okay.
Who knows?
Maybe you better check that one out before you go, girl.
Oh,
I'm just thinking, you know, maybe
I'm coming in with a lion.
Yeah.
Sam, you couldn't go. It's there's no.
No, I'd rather stay home and watch it on TV.
Yeah.
I don't want mosquitoes and shit like that. Anyway,
guys,
thank you all so much.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.